News on Demand, 700WLW.com.
Mark Amazon, 700WLW. It's late at night. I talk about a lot of things late at night. I don't pretend to be an expert on everything. I'm not like Bill Cunningham, who says, if you have any questions about geomorphology, urology, I'm not an expert. There are things I know very well. Fracking is not one of them. Earthquakes are not one of them. But I have someone that does, and I want to get some answers, because some of this stuff, frankly, can be a little bit scary and a little bit intimidating. And for answers, we bring in an award-winning author. He has written a number of award-winning books. He is also known as the best-known earthquake predictor on Earth. We welcome in David Nabhan. And David, welcome to the Mark Amazon Show. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me, Mark. That's a heck of an introduction. Hope I can live up to it. Well,
how does one become the best-known earthquake predictor on Earth, which I guess then, by translation, would be in the whole universe, by extension?
Swinging hard.
Swinging hard, but what about connecting? What about connecting?
And connecting, but a lot of swinging. The media. I'm not downgrading. The media has been actually just a great force in my corner. And if it weren't for people like you and CBS News and media all over the world, this matter would never be placed on the public forum. And it deserves a place on the. It's an important topic. So. I'm glad to have a voice for Cincinnati. I've never spoken to the people of Cincinnati. It's a big treat.
Interestingly, I am, and I just want to explain this. I'm not a big natural disaster guy. I'm not a doomsday prepper. I don't buy into the whole the world is going to end, Mayan calendar sort of thing. But I am fascinated by this stuff. So before we get into some of this, have you ever accurately predicted an earthquake of any magnitude?
A dozen at least.
Really?
There have been so many and so often that people would really have to go to my website. I've tried to do the best to archive. I mean, big ones. We're not talking about. And with the subject of fracking, a lot of the quakes that we're going to be talking about in Ohio are going to be very small temblers, and I want to set that straight right off the bat. When we're talking about earthquake prediction on the West Coast, certainly anybody could predict an earthquake. There's going to be one tomorrow, but a 5.0 or a 6.0 is a real earthquake, and at least a dozen earthquakes of that magnitude. The largest earthquake in Seattle's history, in recent history, the 5.5 tembler of 1996, that was missed by 9 minutes. The 6.3 earthquake in San Diego in 2013
right.
was by about 3.5 hours. Earthquakes of that
wow.
of that magnitude,
so
real ones,
big ones. I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars in damages and potentially losses of life. So you predicted. I mean, what happens when you make an earthquake prediction? I mean, obviously it goes on your website, but I mean, do you call authorities? And if so, do they listen?
All of those events that I mentioned, plus others, on the Howard Stern Show, for example, in 98, a 5.0 earthquake took place 75 minutes away from the time, place, and date that I'd set on the Howard Stern Show in front of, millions of people.
You called an earthquake on the Howard Stern Show.
Yeah.
And it happened.
It didn't happen, and he had me back. But, you know, this could go, you know, the 20th of January is the next date that has been bandied about. And if there's going to be a good-sized quake on the West Coast that between 4:45 and 7:55 a.m. and or p.m. on the West Coast, USGS is not going to take any notice. They've not taken any notice on the last 15. And so this, again, what I'm doing, I'm directing a worldwide public opinion campaign to take this straight to the people, to get the, there's a link to the governor's desk of California on my website at earthquakepredictors.com where people can weigh in and ask that this matter be placed on the desk of a panel of people who actually could weigh it and determine whether it's viable or not. It's called the California Earthquake Prediction Evaluation Council.
David, give me that date again. What's the date of the next predicted big one?
Well, there's three for the next year that have asterisks by them because they're particularly good dates. There's a number of paradigms that are all gelling at the same time. January 20. February 18 and March 20, and all of them at dawn and or at dusk between 4:45 and 7:55 a.m. and or p.m.
Well, I'm writing this down.
Some locale on the West Coast between San Diego and Seattle and 5.0 or greater.
I'm writing this down. Earthquakes here in the Midwest, perhaps not as big of a deal as they are on the West Coast, but let me ask you this question. I keep hearing that fracking could cause earthquakes, and because of that, fracking should be banned. But I've heard other people say that predicting earthquakes is an impossible art and there's no science to it. So if that's the case, if predicting quakes is impossible, how can any one specific thing cause them? Because if it did, then we'd be able to predict them, right?
Well, you hit the nail right on the head. The current controversy regarding fracking and earthquakes isn't just a bitter pill for Ohioans. It's one of the great ironies of recent history. Just like you said, how amazing that civil and scientific authorities should finally cozy up to the taboo idea of earthquake prediction, only now that it gives them the opportunity what they do best, which is to regulate or to ban. So if fracking causes earthquakes, and I really believe that it does, I'm one of the first people to have said that a few years ago, not knowing, you know, where it would take us, then what we're witnessing is something much more important than that. It's really the death throes of one of the greatest scientific bungles in this country's history. As you said, you can't have it both ways. You can't say fracking is a precursory dynamic for precipitating an earthquake out of one side of your mouth in Ohio, and then go out on the West Coast and pronounce the same old tired mantra about quakes being impossible. So,
yeah.
Which is it?
It's got to be one of the two. And, you know, look, ridicule aside, where is it written that earthquake prediction is impossible?
It's not. If you're looking for a quote from Einstein or Aristotle or Archimedes or Isaac Newton,
Plato,
or Jonas Salk, you know,
yeah.
none of those great scientists ever said a word on the subject. There's been what happened was, it's really kind of it's a sad story, but it's a story that fit with everything. Smallpox vaccine was cast out. Everything that we have that we base our modern world on, every single new idea started out as impossible. Helen Keller was blind, and her great quote, you know, yesterday's heresies are today's orthodoxy. That's the idea. Plate tectonics was the man who discovered continental drift. He was hectored all over the world. What they did to Galileo almost,
yeah.
He suffered about the same sort of thing. So ever since,
what about Kepler, Copernicus? I mean, they were all ridiculed.
Yeah, ever since the world spinning from the 1500s on, every single new idea has been attacked. So that's the idea in around about the turn of the last century, the 1900s, not the 21st century, the turn of the 20th century, a small group of committed partisans got the idea that, you know, this was nonsense and earthquake prediction, you know, we're back in the telegraphic days, and they assumed that earthquake prediction was impossible. They scribbled it in stone and they simply passed it down generation after generation, and here we are. Amazing, isn't it?
It really is. And David Nabhan, I'm going to say something here. It is not my opinion. It may be the opinion of many, and I'm sure you've encountered this during your professional career. There's a sense that people that try to predict earthquakes are not scientists. You guys are compared to carnies. You're like a freak show. You're even lower.
Sideshow.
You're even lower than a radio talk show host. So, you know, out on the West Coast, you're given freak status. But all of a sudden, here in Ohio, now with the advent of fracking, suddenly we're listening to people predicting earthquakes. So there's, again, a major disconnect. What are you? Are the David Nabhans of the world legitimate scientists with legitimate concerns, or are you carnies and sideshows?
Well, that's the incredible twisting of logic there. On the one hand, we have officials who were never willing to speak the unutterable words earthquake prediction on the West Coast, who now spring into action to use earthquake prediction to present, you know, to prevent necessary energy to light stoves and to warm homes, to kill jobs, to impede an entire industry. All of a sudden, they're open-minded in Ohio. But never fear, it's still impossible in California. That's really some trick, isn't it? The time zone or something must have something to do with it, I guess, Mark.
It is amazing. Now, what do they do in other countries? I mean, you know, so here in the United States, we've pretty much said, look, this stuff can't be predicted. We have no idea. But I wonder, because we lag behind in the sciences, and it seems like we fall behind more with each passing year. Well, what do they do with this stuff in, say, Japan or China or other countries?
Well, you mentioned China and Japan. It should come as an amazing surprise to those countries, for example, our trading partners and our good allies, who probably have to, you know, they scratch their head. And in Europe, too, Italy, Russia, they have, from decades ago, already inaugurated organs of their federal governments dedicated to earthquake prediction. If if earthquake is impossible, maybe somebody should inform the thousands of researchers in hundreds of the most prestigious institutions all over the world currently investigating at least a dozen promising seismic precursors. You're right, Mark. This is something of an embarrassment, and it has been for many decades. Earthquake prediction, you know, is impossible on this side of the international dateline, and possible on the other. Possible in Ohio, impossible in California. This seismic forecasting is pretty tricky stuff, or maybe really there's something else going on.
Interesting. So you're telling me that in other major countries, not only is the prediction of earthquakes legitimized, but it's funded. I mean, not only is it taken seriously and not laughed at or sneered at, but millions, perhaps billions of state dollars are being pumped into it.
Well, I'll give you the figures. Japan spends $100 million every year on the Tokai warning system, and China's State Seismological Bureau for 50, let me make sure your listeners understand that, 50 years ago, they established the Center for Prediction and Analysis in China. So China's federal government has been in the business of earthquake prediction for half a century. We owe them $1 trillion, by the way, though, so they can't be that stupid, can they?
Yeah, they're doing something right, no doubt about it. David Nabhan, author, earthquake predictor, allegedly the best on Earth. All right, so tell me this. Does fracking cause earthquakes?
Well, actually, it does. I'm going to be an honest broker. I'm going to be truthful about it. It does cause earthquakes. We've known that for a long time. We knew about it even before there was fracking. When we started building dams, this is another thing that nobody tells the public about. When Hoover Dam was, we've known about it since 1900, since 1930. Every major dam that's ever been built in a seismically active zone, Hoover Dam, the Vashon Dam in Italy, the Xipingpu Dam in China, which killed 80,000 people, by the way, in 2008 when it when that great earthquake struck just 3 miles from the dam. When you force water under pressure into a seismically active zone. The Russians discovered this and told us this in 1971 when we first started talking to them. It's one of the first things they told us, that under Stalin, there were a couple of great earthquakes that struck in Tajikistan, and Stalin had just defeated the Third Reich, and he couldn't believe that such a thing could happen. I think 10,000, 20,000 people were killed. He ordered that people figure out what this earthquake prediction stuff was. He wanted to know how such a thing could be evidenced with no precursor beforehand. And the Russians came up with they don't knuckle under. They're pretty when they get at something, that's part of their nature. They refuse to knuckle under. They came up with some paradigms that actually work insofar as fracking is concerned. Pumping water under pressure into a seismically active zone is like pulling on the tail of a lion. You really can produce earthquakes, but in Ohio, what people are missing, this is not really a seismically active zone. I mean, I'm not going to weigh in on whether fracking should take place on the West Coast, in the Cascadia, on the San Andreas. The small little temblers, the window rattlers that we might have to suffer in Ohio, that's the sort of thing that is going to be traded off on the one hand. On the other, not fracking to destroy an entire industry that seems to be the best thing that has happened to our country so far this century, to put all those hundreds of thousands of workers out of good paying jobs. I don't know, you know, how do you move a great nation forward when you're not going to extract the energy that's right from under our feet?
And so. Here's the thing, David, you made a good analogy. It's like pulling on the tail of a lion. Now, my understanding of it is fracking may cause earthquakes. You say it does, but they're small. They're small in nature, which is like maybe pulling on the tail of a very small baby lion. Is it a possibility, scientifically, let's say fracking goes on for decades, maybe even centuries, I mean, is there a chance that the earthquakes in Ohio would grow in frequency, grow in size, and Cincinnati could become like L.A. or someplace on the West Coast, or is that a scientific impossibility?
You know, I've been asked that, Mark. That's a really tough question. It's stupid to never, you know, one should never say never. I the New Madrid is a real seismic zone. That's not too far from Cincinnati. And there have been gigantic monster earthquakes. That's a seismic zone that can really put forth a real first-class, world-class.
So it could happen. It's not likely, but it could happen.
I assume if you wanted to, you know, put it that way, with, you know, centuries of playing around in the subterranean environment under Ohio,
fracking and fracking, decades, centuries of fracking.
Okay, I might go that far, but I don't think really anybody could. I don't think the smartest, the most esteemed seismologist on planet Earth probably wouldn't be able to give you a real answer on that one. That's a head scratcher.
That's
a tough one.
So the earthquakes here. You say it's got to be 5 or 6 or higher on the Richter scale to be considered a pretty major event. When we have them in Ohio, and there could be more of them due to fracking, what kind of number are we talking about on the Richter scale?
Well, the one everybody's making such a noise about is the Youngstown earthquake, which was 4.0, and that's actually, you know, that's a pretty good sized earthquake. If it's taking place near you or under you, you could actually feel that. If that were to take place in California, it wouldn't even make the wires. It would be on the local news. A few people would talk about it, and that'd be the end of it. And that's what I'm trying to be honest when I said I wanted to be an honest broker. I'm trying to thread the needle here. The truth is, yeah, let's not sugarcoat it. Fracking is going to probably, over the years, as we get this tremendous boon of energy, the cost is probably going to be some rattled windows from time to time in Youngstown or some other place. Or seismology is a really rough, the fault line upon which that earthquake took place in Youngstown, the Northridge earthquake. Both of those, nobody even knew that fault line existed. Either one, there must be hundreds, if not thousands, of small little fault lines all over the world that nobody knows exist. People assume that, you know, science is magic. They push buttons and everybody knows what's going on. We're talking about what's happening under the surface of the earth. There's no real great knowledge about that. I'll give you that. So the trade-off is going to be a little bit of seismic risk for Ohio, and I don't know, compared with the boon that this great fracking, the amount of energy, the amount of natural gas, the dollars that are pumped into the economy, the jobs, the idea that homes, I don't know, when I turn the knob on my stove, I like to see fire appear, and we'd have to make a decision. Your winters in Cincinnati are not too kind. People need to have their homes.
Yeah, listen. At the end of the day, David Navan, as we wrap things up, I mean, you got to break some eggs to make an omelet. Everybody knows that. But if we go ahead, we frack some more. We might have more earthquakes. They're not likely to be significant earthquakes. Windows may rattle. People may be concerned for a couple of seconds. But Ohio and Cincinnati specifically does not have any threat of becoming the next Los Angeles or Barstow or any place like that. This is interesting stuff. If people want to get a hold of one of your books or check out your website, give that to us again.
The title of the book is Earthquake Prediction: Answers in Plain Sight, and the website is www.earthquakepredictors.com. You can get the book anywhere. It's on Kindle for $2.99, and my editors at Skyhorse Publishing would be furious with me if I didn't mention the science fiction book coming out next spring, Pilots of Borealis. So if anybody's into science fiction, sci-fi fans in Cincinnati that want to take an e-ride through the 25th century, that's next spring from Skyhorse.
David Navan, provided there is not a big one here in Cincinnati, we get sucked down to Middle Earth, I may have you on again.
Thank you, Mark, for having me. My pleasure.
Thank you very much. David Navan, and if we don't get sucked down to Middle Earth, I'm going to have him on. I mean, look, it makes sense. People say fracking is going to be the end of the world. It's not. We'll have more earthquakes. They'll be very small. End of story. Save billions of dollars. Do better with energy. Less dependent. But we have some small earthquakes. I'll make that trade. Let's continue with more. Mark Amazon, 700 WLW. It's the threat.